People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note here on Fine Music Radio. My guest today is Dr. Stephen Muir, who is Principal Investigator of the Performing the Jewish Archive. Now, Performing the Jewish Archive is presenting a week-long celebration of music and theatre by Jewish artists of the 20th century, pieces that have been neglected, forgotten, and even thought lost forever, but now rediscovered via the work of this project team. And it's called Out of the Shadows, Rediscovering Jewish Music and Theatre. It's from the 10th to the 17th of September. And, as I say, the principal investigator is Dr. Stephen Muir, who's with me. He's based at the University of Leeds, the School of Music, and is working closely with the South African Holocaust and Genocide Foundation, where he has previously given talks to develop an exhibition with them, and is a research scholar as well. Dr. Muir, welcome. Welcome to
Thank you very much.
This sounds most intriguing, so I want to spend some time asking you just, A, what the project is, Performing the Jewish Archive, and Out of the Shadows.
Yes, well, Performing the Jewish Archive, we're now in our third year of the project, and we were fortunate enough to be funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council of the United Kingdom, one of the government research councils. And it's a very, very large, ambitious project, spanning the globe, really. We have investigators in the UK, of course, but also in Australia, in the United States, and partners all over the world, such as the South African Holocaust and Genocide Foundation, as you mentioned, and other places like the Jewish Museum in Prague, and so on and so forth. There's some 25, 30 partners around the world. And the ultimate purpose is exactly as you say, it's to unearth and recover pieces of music and works of theatre that were lost mostly during the Holocaust, but not entirely. Sometimes they were lost earlier than that as composers and playwrights fled, usually Eastern Europe, sometimes Germany, and left their materials behind. People assumed they'd got lost, and in many cases, of course, they did. But a remarkable amount of material did survive, both back in the homeland, as it were, and also in places as far-flung as Australia and indeed South Africa.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Genuine stuff from the Holocaust.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did it come into being, this whole project?
Well, I became interested in Jewish music perhaps about 10 years ago. I'm not Jewish myself, but through some friends I became interested, fascinated by a musical world that I didn't really know existed, let alone knew anything about. And over the years, I became more and more interested. And then I had the opportunity to spend some time in Cape Town, actually on quite a different project, vaguely to do with the Jewish community and music, but not this at all. And it was Rabbi Stuart Salvator who introduced me to Brody family, who live in Cape Town, whose grandfather was a cantor Froim Spector, who came from Rostov-on-Don in Russia in 1928 to Cape Town to be the cantor of the New Hebrew Congregation, which is the Roland Street Shul, no longer a shul, of course. But and with him, he brought a beautiful red folder, embossed leather with Cyrillic writing, because, of course, it was the Soviet Union back home. And in that folder were a number of his own compositions, but also a number of compositions by his friends and acquaintances, some of whom were in fact some of the most significant Jewish composers of the interwar period. And so in many respects it was pure serendipity, although I should of course acknowledge Rabbi Stuart Salvator for stimulating that initial contact.
Setting the scene, so to speak, for serendipitous thing to happen.
Yeah.
And that sort of was the spark then. And,
exactly.
And you then set about this project. So basically you set up the project at Leeds University.
That's right. At the same time, a gentleman called Dr. David Flig was doing similar research, but on the Theresienstadt ghetto just north of Prague, particularly on a composer, Gideon Klein, a real genius who was murdered in the Holocaust. And so I knew him already. We got together, thought we should try and form a project. And fortuitously, at the same time, the Research Council put out a call for applications to a project, to a theme called Care for the Future. And Looking Forward Through the Past is the subtitle. So we thought, well, hang on, this is exactly what we're doing.
Absolutely.
And yeah. David knew Dr. Lisa Peschel at the University of York, who's a theatre scholar and researches theatre in the Theresienstadt ghetto, and Dr. Joseph Toltz at the University of Sydney, the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, and Terrell Dobbs in Wisconsin-Madison, and so on. And eventually we assembled a team together and applied for this grant, with a historian also and a psychologist on board, just to give different aspects of the topic. And we're very fortunate to get the grant, and that enabled the work.
It's a bit serendipitous again.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a way. Mm. Let's just take, I want to ask you a lot more about the project, but and maybe about some of the composers. Let's have your first piece of music, which looks mildly intriguing, I have to say.
Well, my first piece of music is by the composer David Eisenstadt. Eisenstadt was one of the really bright lights of music in the interwar period, Jewish music, that is. He initially knew Froem Spector in Rostov-on-Don, and then moved to Warsaw, where he was the conductor of one of the largest synagogues there, the Twomatsky Street Synagogue. He started a Jewish symphony orchestra, started writing a Yiddish music dictionary, a remarkable figure. Mm-hmm. And tragically, he and his family were along with most of the other Jews in Warsaw, rounded up to be sent to Treblinka. His daughter was a fantastic singer, from all reports. She's known as the Nightingale of the ghetto, Marissa. And they were put in separate lines. The daughter broke from her line towards her parents to try and be with them, and she was shot on the spot by a guard. And then her parents also were killed shortly afterwards. So it's a tragic story. But at the same time, this music survived, ended up in Cape Town, of all places, from the Warsaw Ghetto, and later in Rostov-on-Don. And it's a setting of a Passover text called Chad Gadya, which translates as One Little Goat. And it's essentially a sort of children's counting song. It's a bit like The Old Woman Who Swallowed a Fly, but it starts off with these two little goats, one little goat, sorry, and it eventually ends up with the angel of death coming along, and then God in his might comes along and saves the Jewish people. It's highly allegorical, of course. And it was first performed in about 1933, I think, in Warsaw, but all we have left now is the first sketch of just the choral parts. There was eventually an orchestra as well. So I just set a simple string accompaniment, and then we were very fortunate enough to be able to perform it at Wigmore Hall in London, and recorded by BBC Radio 3.
And that's what we're going to hear now.
That's what we're going to hear, yeah. Thank you.
First choice of music by my guest, probably the first time it's ever been played on the airwaves in South Africa.
Absolutely.
What was that, Stephen?
That was a setting of Chag Gadya, the Passover text by David Eisenstadt of Warsaw and discovered in a family archive in Cape Town.
Oh, my goodness. And then, as you said, you fleshed it out a little bit with that string accompaniment we heard.
Yeah, I didn't change anything. I just doubled the voices with the strings.
Okay.
Yeah.
My guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week is Dr. Stephen Muir, who's the principal investigator of a project called Performing the Jewish Archive. And from the 10th to the 17th of September, they are going to be presenting Out of the Shadows, Rediscovering Jewish Music and Theatre. One of the things that I've been wondering is the names of these interwar composers, this music that you're finding, are generally then not really known, are
That's
they?
That's correct, yeah.
They are sort of just not known because they disappeared.
Yeah. Well, yes, very much the case. In many cases, the stark fact is that they were killed. They didn't survive, and therefore, because people who were in the concentration camps and caught up in all the horror that was going on, because they didn't talk about it for a long time, that's a very well-known sort of phenomenon that people just couldn't face talking about it until maybe the 70s or that sort of period afterwards. Because of that, these names sort of fell by the wayside. And only a few of them really were remembered. And actually, even the composers and playwrights who did make it out of Central Europe, even they were often discriminated against because they were either Jewish or German or both. Even some of them were interned in camps in their destination of safety because of suspicion.
Yeah.
For example, on the Isle of Man in the UK, there was a detention camp where many quite prominent musicians and other artists were detained.
I don't think many people know that.
No, they don't. And so even those people were often sidelined. The British composition and musical establishment at the time was not particularly welcoming, I don't think, because it was extra competition, of course. And so even these, some of them very, very fine composers, were forced into other lines of work and kept composing, but it's only really quite recently that many of them are beginning to be rediscovered, I would say.
But now, how did you rediscover them? What are your links? What leads do you follow?
Well, in many cases, as we were saying earlier, it's serendipity. And from one chance discovery, you can then often get a lead to someone else. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I was in Cape Town, was introduced to the Brodie family, whose grandfather was Frome Spector. And then I gave a talk a year later about that music at the Holocaust Centre in Cape Town, and several people said, oh yes, my grandfather was a cantor, or my father was a cantor, and you sort of start spreading links like that. So a lot of it is quite, again, fortuitous, although you have clues as to where things are.
Gosh, it must be fascinating work.
It is. It's sort of, somebody's described it as sort of Indiana Jones style.
Yes, I can understand
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't quite go that far.
But it's quite a sort of forensic in many ways as well.
Yeah, forensic and archaeological. But then also you have music and theatrical artifacts that were published in their day, but were then just forgotten about. And a lot of research has been done. I mean, we're by no means the first people to do this, of course. A lot of research has been done over the past few decades into this material, and so you have projects around the world that have uncovered music by many, many composers, and perhaps to slightly lesser extent the playwrights.
How do you get your message out to people? Is it through things that are happening now in September, these sort of workshops and performances? More and more people know, and then, as you said earlier, you get links. And how do you disseminate all this? On your website or doing talks?
Yes, we do have a website, of course. Everyone has a website. ptja.leeds.ac.uk.
PTJA meaning Performing the Jewish Archive.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
Dot
Leeds.
Leeds University.
Yeah, dot AC academic. UK.
Okay. Yeah. And that gives people a good idea of what it's all about.
Yes, that contains all our performances, all our research ideas, lots and lots of news items. There have been 8 newsletters, quarterly newsletters. People can sign up for a quarterly newsletter if they so wish. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there's the website, and that is currently being redeveloped into a very exciting online archival resource where people will be able to select an object and then follow the links from that object to perhaps the composer, then to where the composer lived and his friends, and all
fascinating,
following things through. And then, of course, we give a lot of public talks, activities with schools, with community groups, really to share the work and the, well, what we consider the exciting discoveries with as many people as possible.
And you might find that listeners to this very program here on Fine Music Radio might contact you and have a link somewhere.
Delighted to hear.
Okay, let's have another piece of music, Dr. Stephen Muir.
Yes, so my next piece of music is by the young prodigy, Yosima Felchu, of whom probably nobody will have heard. Yosima Felchu was 12 years old, trapped in the Warsaw Ghetto along with most of the Jewish population of Warsaw. And she was, as I said, a child prodigy. She composed piano music and performed it in concerts in the ghetto. And I think it was at the age of 13, she was actually smuggled out of the ghetto. But tragically then she developed tuberculosis and died shortly after. So whilst she wasn't strictly murdered by the Nazis, she was very much a victim of their cruelty. And her music, again, was in a notebook and discovered a little bit later. Some of the family preserved it, I think. And then it was given to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C., where it sat for some time. And my colleague Terrell Dobbs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison has recovered it, edited it to make it playable in modern standards. And so this is a Kujawiak, which is a type of Polish song, and it's her Opus 13. And again, this is from the Wigmore Hall concert that we had in January. And so Yosima Felchu, age 12, Kujawiak.
Once again, I'm going to ask my guest to back announce, as we say in the business, that song, Dr. Stephen.
That was Kujawiak, Opus 13, by the 12-year-old prodigy of the Warsaw Ghetto, Yosima Felchu.
Just to remind you that my guest on People of Note this week is Dr. Stephen Muir from the School of Music at the University of Leeds, but I'm talking to him in his capacity as principal investigator of the project called Performing the Jewish Archive. And when you've discovered all these things, what are you going to do with them? Are they going to be archived and published? What are you going to do with them?
Well, a variety of things. Yes, certainly archived, or at least available via our website on a very exciting new development we're working on at the moment. Published in many cases, yes. Many of these pieces only exist currently in manuscript, often damaged and watered, you know, water-stained and all this sort of thing. So, in fact, my colleague Lisa Peschel from the University of York has already published a book of play scripts and cabaret scripts from the Theresienstadt ghetto. Fascinating work. And most importantly, of course, is performed.
That's the thing. And recorded.
And recorded.
And maybe
indeed, yes.
made available to the public.
Absolutely.
On CD for download or whatever.
And indeed in sheet music form or script form and whatever. So the public backbone, as it were, of the project is a series of international festivals.
I.e. this one taking place
indeed,
in Cape Town in September.
And we started, the first one was in Wisconsin-Madison, just for a day, just to try things out. And then we went back there for a whole week in May last year, 2016. And then we had a similar festival across the month of June in the UK, in Leeds and York. Then in the Czech Republic, in Prague and Pilsen, and also in Theresienstadt itself.
Gosh, that must have been interesting.
It was very, very moving.
Yes, I'm sure.
Lots of survivors. In all the audiences everywhere, actually, but particularly poignant in Theresienstadt, performing things that they had themselves performed when they were children.
Gosh,
it's extraordinary.
My goodness.
And in August, we will have our festival in Sydney, Australia, which will focus quite a lot on the work of Joseph Toltz, our investigator out there. And then finally, last but by no means least, the Cape, Cape Town and Stellenbosch, September the 10th to the 17th of September.
That's right. Yeah. And I want to ask more details of what happens at these festivals. Mm-hmm. But just before that, these representatives of yours, the investigators in mm-hmm. Sydney or Wisconsin, are they all doing what you're doing? They're all researching all the time and looking for things and putting out feelers to find leads.
Yes, pretty much. There are a couple of them who are not engaged in completely in that. So Dr. Helen Finch at the University of Leeds is a German literature scholar, really, historian literature scholar, has a lot of connections, however, with the South African Holocaust and Genocide Foundation, again, mm-hmm. whose director, Richard Friedman, is a very great supporter and helper of ours. And Helen is very interested in the post-war German literary depiction of the Holocaust and how they started to try to come to terms with or not, mm-hmm. and things like that. And then we also have a psychologist, Dr. Nicholas Barraclough, Nick Barraclough at the University of York, who takes a completely different approach and looks at how our audiences respond.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Which I think is very important to your project.
It's a human project, very mm-hmm. much so, even though it's to do with dusty manuscripts and things.
And do young people come along?
Yes. I have to say that the majority of the audience is perhaps of traditional concert-going age.
Yes.
But we do have events which are specifically aimed at children. We'll have one in Cape Town in September, a children's opera called Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yes.
By a Jewish composer. And also we have the next generation of composers in the form of students at, Stellenbosch Conservatorium and the South African College of Music, but also other institutions around the world that we've worked with, developing their own music based upon the research that we've done, but taking it a stage further.
Have you got another one of these discovered pieces for us to listen to?
Well, in a way, yes. This is not something that I myself have discovered, or indeed any of the team, but it's important for the project. It's by the composer Hans Gahl, who was director of the Mainz Conservatoire in Germany and was also at the Vienna Conservatoire, fled initially to England, was interned on the Isle of Man, as we were talking about earlier, eventually ended up in Edinburgh, and with a number of other people helped to set up a little music festival, which is now the Edinburgh International Festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah, extraordinarily. And a wonderful composer, but like some of the others, sidelined, became a librarian, did great work there, but his music was all but forgotten. His daughter has his archive in York, and I've worked with her a lot to get the music back out there, as have many, many other people over the past couple of decades. And so the piece you're going to hear is one of the four-part songs for mixed voices, which, in fact, was published posthumously. And this is a performance in the Prague Spanish synagogue during our festival there, by the Cloth Workers Consort of Leeds, which is the choir I sing in.
Well, once again, I'm going to ask my guest, Dr. Stephen Muir, to back announce what we, that's the words we use in radio, Stephen, what we've just heard.
That was one of four-part songs for mixed voices by Hans Gahl.
Now, Dr. Stephen Muir is the principal investigator of this project called Performing the Jewish Archive. And your workshop here in South Africa,
a festival, yeah,
is called Out of the Shadows, Rediscovering Jewish Music and Theatre from the 10th to the 17th of September. What I was just thinking and listening to those pieces, what sort of style of music are we talking about here? It's not, it's sort of classical on the one hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's also a bit folky.
Well, there's a very, very wide variety of styles that people will hear if they come to our events. So, yes, there is what one might class as purely classical. Also partly folkish. Now, Chad Gadya is the first piece we heard. It's a liturgical piece in a way, but it's fun, it's folkish. It's a children's piece.
Mm-hmm.
And some other music is, you know, serious chamber music, some piano music, some of which is quite light. But then we also have cabaret,
Sort of Kurt Weill style.
Yes, and also, yes, I guess so. And some of it is sort of Weimar Republic decadence.
Oh, yes, yes.
But also written in the Theresienstadt ghetto itself. Mm-hmm. But very interestingly, often comic. It's very often comedy. And also, one member of the team I haven't mentioned is Dr. Simo Muir. Extraordinarily enough, there are two Dr. S. Muirs researching this in the world, though we are unrelated. And he's actually from Finland, and he researches Jewish cabaret of the Finnish Jewish community, which again is mostly very self-satirical, self-deprecatory comedy. Fascinating stuff.
You know what I want to do? Very often when I do this program, I obviously ask my guests all about their background. Mm-hmm. And I know you're at the School of Music at the University of Leeds, but we know you at the moment as the principal investigator of this project. Mm-hmm. But as a musician, you're a musician, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
A composer or a performer?
By no means a composer. I tried and failed that.
Okay.
But yes, a performer and a researcher, a musicologist. Actually, I was born in Zambia.
Oh, you were born in Africa?
Yes, so I have an affinity for the Southern African area. Lived in South Africa for a short while before, visited. And although that hasn't influenced my music making directly, I think it's influenced me as a person and as a musician in terms of being open to things beyond what I was then trained in, which was the standard classical tradition, Mozart, Beethoven, Haydn, etc., which I love, absolutely love.
What instrument do you play?
I'm mostly a singer these days, a tenor.
Okay.
Although my background is in percussion.
I see. Okay. Yeah, the tuned percussion. That's very unusual, the percussion and singing.
I guess so, yeah. It means that my singing is usually quite rhythmic.
Well, yes, you have to be.
Indeed. And I'm also a conductor.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. And as you said with the first song, you mm-hmm. sometimes find yourself arranging things.
Yes.
With this music that you're discovering.
Yes, often you get just the melody line. Sometimes you get most of the music, but there's a bit torn off.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make an intelligent guess as to what was there. Sometimes it was written with an organ in mind, but the performance you're doing doesn't have an organ available, and things like that. So you have to be a bit creative whilst definitely maintaining the music as it was.
So your work at Leeds University is presumably your primary pay the rent type thing. This sounds that it might be very time consuming.
Yeah.
This project.
So the way it works is that the grant that we got from the government pays for me to be seconded, I guess, mm-hmm. for nearly my whole contract from the university.
Oh.
So I'm still in my office in Leeds doing other things as well, but mostly doing this with my project manager Libby Clark, who's wonderful, and all the other team.
I mentioned earlier that the project is going to be here in Cape Town for the first time from the 10th to the 17th of September, called Out of the Shadows, Rediscovering Jewish Music and Theatre. And what sort of form does this festival take over that week?
A number of performances, sometimes two or three in a day.
Of this discovered music?
Yes. So music and theatre. Important mm-hmm. to mention the theatre as well, although I'm musically inclined. And a variety of types of music and theatre, as I said before. Some cabaret, choral music, symphonic music, chamber music, all types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what sort of performers? Are you bringing performers with you? Are you using local musicians from universities?
No, we're very much using local musicians. That's important to us to introduce the music to them as well.
Yes, of course.
So, for instance, the Cape Philharmonic are performing for us, which we're very, very honoured with. And the Cape Soloists Choir will be performing. And then some students as well from the Conservatorium in Stellenbosch and from the College of Music in UCT.
Are you going to be performing at all? Will you hear you sing?
Me personally? Well, I will be conducting the Cape Soloists Choir, although in conversation with them the other day, it could be that I also do a couple of the tenor solos.
Okay, so good.
We should
get to hear
you. Have to practice.
And are there also talks and things and lectures?
Yes, there'll be most of the events will have some kind of talk before, or indeed sometimes afterwards, for people to reflect back, meet the performers, find out a little bit more about them and about the piece. We'll also have our travelling exhibition, which will be hopefully at every performance. It's very portable, which will highlight the main outlines of the whole project, the Performing the Jewish Archive.
And what sort of venues are you using?
Well, Variety in Cape Town and Stellenbosch, City Hall in Cape Town, of course, for the Philharmonic Orchestra, the Stellenbosch Conservatorium, number of the halls in there, the Baxter Theatre, perhaps the Fugard Theatre as well.
Well, those are all very well-known venues to music lovers and theatregoers in Cape Town, and I'm sure you're going to get a wonderful response because I, for example, am completely fascinated, and it's an extraordinary thing that you're doing. But this is, you said it's your fifth festival, and you said it's your last, so why now would you stop?
The mundane reason is that grant finishes at the end of next calendar year, halfway through, and so we need some time after to write things up and do the reporting. So it's not for any particular reason other than that.
But
I mean, we are hoping that there will be a legacy and that it will carry on in some form in the different places.
Because presumably people will still send you stuff, even though perhaps the festivals have ended. Yeah. There will always be the Performing the Jewish Archive as an organization.
Yes, in some form or another.
In some form or another. Yeah. Okay. Well, Dr. Muir, it's been really fascinating talking to you.
And you, thank
you. I'm looking forward to this. It's from the 10th to the 17th of September. It's called Out of the Shadows, Rediscovering Jewish Music and Theatre. What is your final piece of music?
My final piece of music is, in my opinion, the greatest composer who ever lived, Johann Sebastian Bach. And it's a movement from St. John Passion, Ruht Wohl, the final chorus.
Dr. Stephen Muir, thank you very much. Dr. Stephen Muir, the School of Music at the University of Leeds and the principal investigator of Performing the Jewish Archive.
Thank you.
Here's the St. John Passion. People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
A Handful of Keys, one of the most brilliant shows to come out of South Africa, is back. Two piano virtuosos and the surprise extra handful are bringing a fresh sparkle to this evergreen, ever-changing, and ever-exciting show. How does one show manage to include laugh till your stomach aches comedy, hold your breath moments of beauty, and jaw-dropping displays of talent and skill? To find out, book for A Handful of Keys at Theatre on the Bay from August the 30th.